Hello, everybody. Welcome back to my YouTube channel here. I'm going to take up a new series of the Bible to study through. I'm going to look at the prophet Jeremiah, or really the book of Jeremiah, every chapter, much like I did with the prophet Isaiah, chapter by chapter. In today's video, I'm going to just do a little introduction to Jeremiah. I guess the first question to ask is, why study Jeremiah? I was thinking about this, you know, and it sort of stirred me to take up Jeremiah in my through the Bible series here on YouTube, because it's been my sort of experience over the years running and talking to different Christians, how some have found Jeremiah difficult. Some Christians haven't even read it, or if they've read parts of it, they've read it selectively. Have not read it right through. If they have read it through, they haven't really understood everything in it, or can't make heads or tails of it, and different things like along that line. Jeremiah is just one of those books where you get that impression. Although everyone likes the prophet Jeremiah, is attracted to him as a person, but don't really get a lot from his book. So I sort of want to try to change that in my little way that I can, any little way I can, through this series. One of the things that makes it difficult for some is that Jeremiah doesn't follow a strict chronological order. His prophecies aren't in any sort of like linear line, sort of a linear pattern. He'll speak about one king of one era, and then he jumps back to a previous king, and then he goes, you know, to a future king that he's dealing with in Judah during the time period that he lived with that king, and so on. And so there's no lineal progression. There's no chronological pattern that one can follow. So it can throw people off a little bit. And again, as we see, the subject matter is mostly having to do with the Jews and the impending destruction of Jerusalem, the invasion of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and so forth. A lot of Christians perhaps don't find that very interesting. Doesn't have a lot of practical Christian doctrine, theology, truth, you know. And so perhaps they don't find that appealing, or they don't get a lot from that. Jeremiah doesn't soar, you know, poetically like the prophet Isaiah does, and Isaiah is just chock full of amazing prophecies. Basically, there's only two main prophecies that we get in Jeremiah. One concerning the Messiah, where he's called the righteous branch, and another prophecy where Jeremiah predicts the new covenant. We get an interesting prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 25, where he gives the time that the captivity would be, the period, the length of the captivity for the Jews in Babylon, 70 years. In fact, that prophecy was searched out by the prophet Daniel. You can read about that in Daniel chapter 9. He opened the book of Jeremiah, and he understood from reading Jeremiah that the captivity there in Babylon, Persia would be for 70 years, and then the Jews would be able to come back to their homeland. So there are prophecies in it. But a lot of it has to do with Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah's time. So that can, those factors can put people off a little bit. But let's remember that even though all the scripture is not about us, it's all for us. And I'm thinking of Paul's words in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So when Paul says here, all scripture, that is every scripture, is inspired of God and is profitable. All inspired scripture is profitable for us today. And even if Jeremiah is speaking about the Jewish people, in their situation, the Spirit of God can use it for practical instruction for us as well. And I hope to show that as we go through the chapters when I can sort of make an application in that way. So Jeremiah. We'll get into more details on Jeremiah personally when we actually do the first commentary on chapter one. But, you know, he's known as the weeping prophet. And that's for good reason. For example, if we come to chapter 9, verse 1, we get that, where Jeremiah says, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain daughter of my people." And you get a similar thing in chapter 13. I'm just using a couple of examples here. Verse 17, "My soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because of the Lord's flock has been taken captive." And so because of these things, also his following book, the Book of Lamentations, Jeremiah has been known as the weeping prophet. You know, Isaiah has been called the singing prophet. Jonah has been called the disobedient prophet. Habakkuk has been called the perplexed prophet. But Isaiah, the weeping prophet, you know, during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, he would ask the disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the disciples would say, "Well, some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So they would say Jeremiah. You know, the Lord Jesus was the man of sorrows. And when they saw the Lord Jesus, the first thing that would come to their mind is that he's a reincarnation of Jeremiah, the prophet. That was the thinking in some minds. You know, Michelangelo did the Sistine Chapel in Rome. On the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, he has his paintings of various biblical scenes and people from the Bible. And he has Jeremiah on the ceiling of the painting of Jeremiah. And you want to Google it and look it up. In that scene, you have Jeremiah there, and his face is turned away from the audience, so to speak. When you look at him, you only see the side of his face is turned away, and his hand is over his face. And so what Michelangelo was supposed attempting there was to show Jeremiah, you know, in his grief. You know, he's a broken man. He's weeping for his people. So most of the prophets are sort of sparse on the detail, their own personal details, but with Jeremiah, we'll get quite a bit as we go along. A lot of it's based with his interactions with the leaders of Israel. And so these things will come out in due course. His ministry was about 40 years long, quite a long time for ministry. And he prophesied during a period of about five different kings in Judea, five different Jewish kings. But three are prominent, and we'll maybe say more about those when we do our commentary. But we get this in chapter 1, verse 3, Josiah, who was a godly king. That's when he began his ministry in 627 BC. And his ministry ran to 586 BC when the temple was destroyed. We also get Jehoiakim in verse 3. He's the guy that cut the Jeremiah's prophecy up with a penknife and threw it in the fireplace. And then Zedekiah, he's the last king of Judah before the destruction of the temple. And in Ezekiel chapter 21, Zedekiah is called that wicked, profane prince. So it starts with the godly king, his ministry, Josiah, and then ends with the wicked king, Zedekiah. But again, these are all details that will come out as we look through it. So the theme, as we've already sort of noted, the theme here is the impending destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian captivity. So Jeremiah lived through the whole thing. Like I said, his ministry was about 40 years long. He prophesied for some 18 years under King Josiah and several of these other kings. But there were three, let's say, three attacks or captivities that Nebuchadnezzar had against the city of Jerusalem and against Judea. The first was in 605 BC. And in 605 BC, Daniel and his friends were taken captive into Babylon. And the second one was in 597 BC. And during that time, Ezekiel was taken into captivity to Babylon. And the final one was in 586 BC. And Jeremiah was sort of taken captive during that final destruction of the temple and captivity, although he ended up in Egypt. But we'll get more to that when we get to all those things. But he lived through all three, and he saw it all. And so he's sort of unique in that way. You know, you get the so-called post-captivity prophets, you know, Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi, ones who prophesied after the Jews came back from captivity. You get Daniel, who prophesied while in captivity. But Jeremiah lived right at that sort of that nexus, that crucial crisis period when it was all happening. And so it's interesting in that way. So Jeremiah prophesied during all three periods. And his message is really, his prophecies are really simple. And they really come down to these two things. One, to the Jewish people to repent for their idolatry. That's why they were, main reason why they were being taken into captivity. And two, the second reason was he was telling them that they must surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. That was his message. You have to surrender to the Babylonians. You have to give up. You have to quit. And those who surrender, their lives will be saved, and they'll be taken into captivity in Babylon, and they'll survive there and prosper there. But you must surrender. But that was perceived by these wicked kings, not Josiah, of course, but these wicked kings as being unpatriotic. They viewed Jeremiah as a traitor, really, because he was saying basically surrender to the enemy. But Nebuchadnezzar was doing God's will. He called him my servant. He had sent Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Jerusalem and Judea as a judgment for whatever reason Nebuchadnezzar had in his own mind to do it, but God was overruling, and he was using Nebuchadnezzar for this. And he was telling the Jews, now you must surrender to him. That wasn't a popular message. You can guarantee this. And the other so-called prophets in Judah were telling them, no, don't surrender. God's going to deliver us. And they were false prophets. And so Jeremiah was hated. That was part of his sorrow as well. No one was listening to him. Everyone, his countrymen hated him and abused him and so on. So this sort of gives sort of the milieu, you know, the genre, the background, or the context, or whatever word you want to use, to fit Jeremiah in. And so I hope, as we go through this chapter by chapter, again, I'm not going to go into great detail, and it's not going to be a scholarly look at it, but just to give you the idea of each chapter by chapter, what's going on here? Why is Jeremiah speaking like this? Who's he speaking to? How are they responding? What practical lessons can we learn from that? What prophecy is this? What does it mean? Does it mean anything to us or in the future? And so on. I want to look at all those things, Lord willing, as we go through all the chapters of Jeremiah. So if you want to pray for this, feel free to pray for this effort, and hope you get encouraged by it and blessed by it. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.